Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, it's good to be here. It's good to gather in your name. It's good to pray. And we just want to honor you this morning and bow down to you and know that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord Jesus. And this morning, Lord, as we look at your power, saving power, the power of the resurrection, the power of the ascension, Lord, things that are so far beyond us, we don't even have an understanding of how to identify the words that try to identify the power. And so, Lord, but guide us by your Spirit here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, we're going to be moving to the last petition this morning in Ephesians prayer chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 19, 20, and 21. And we'll be talking about the power. So let's begin by singing the power in the blood. 201, first and last verse of 201. There's power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his presence to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen to that. Well, I've got some notes here for you, but I'm not going to pass them out till later because you'll be looking at them and you get all confused of all these definitions and words. And so just a couple of questions. I would pray this morning after we look at this particular phase of this prayer that you would never again limit God in your prayers. Never limit God in your prayers. The Spirit, through Apostle Paul here, continues to ask for things which are so far beyond anything we could ever understand or even think or even dream. And yet he's praying for that. And we're talking about, as I mentioned, power. The saving power, the resurrecting power, the ascending power of our risen Savior. And so if you just close your eyes a moment and just listen to this prayer, and then we can open our eyes and and look at it a little bit, but just contemplate on these words. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then today's petition, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So look at your Bibles now, and as we look at these words, we're going to be talking about something that is beyond. We've been talking about things all beyond our understanding. Remember, Paul is prefacing this prayer on the two basic pillars of Christianity, in effect that he's recognizing that these believers have faith in Jesus and that they love one another. And in a lot of extent, that would be the end of it, right? Oh, you love Jesus and you love one another and you believe in him. What more could we pray for? You're saved, right? No problem. But now Paul goes on and starts to ask for these things. And he says in verse 18 that you may know. Now that word know is a complicated word. It's typically oida, that you would grasp it by revelation or grasp it by awareness, because these things that happened back at the time of the resurrection and the time of the ascension, we weren't experiencing those. We weren't there, were we? So we know that by believing that the scripture, what it says, and that the scripture is true. But there's also another aspect of that word, and that is that we would know by experience. And so the way it's used here, the oidas use a lot of different words in the scripture, and I have one big old book that has these various definitions, and it uses, on oida, there may be 12 different usages of it, and it'll have the breakdown by what verses each is kind of categorized. And again, all of these things get all confusing because it's man's attempt to describe what's going on, and we so are limited with our agency and our ability. But this particular definition, the way they categorize it, to grasp the meaning of something, to understand, to recognize, to come to know, to experience. And so Paul's prayer here is that we would come to know, we would recognize, and we would experience these things. Now, what is he asking? Well, he did ask, what is the hope of his calling? He asked, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the saints? We looked at that the last 2 weeks. But today, this third thing he's asking is, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? What is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now, those words are beyond our ability, I think, to get our hands around. First of all, he's not saying, and to know what is the power. He's not saying what is the greatness of the power, but he's saying what is the exceeding greatness of the power. The exceeding means immeasurable, a degree that's beyond the point of measuring. This is surpassing, it's outdoing anything that we could really even measure. So here we have exceeding greatness. The greatness, hyperbalo, mean immeasurable. It's, greatness, I'm sorry, megathos. It's a quality of exceeding a standard of excellence. So you've got something that exceeds. Now, I can't get my hands around that. That's too big. That's like trying to identify the word infinity or the word eternal. What does eternal mean? I just can't grasp it. Come on in. Thank you. So we're looking at Ephesians 1, verse 19. So that's what he's asking, that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. So I'm sure we're already short-circuiting our brain now, and we can't even figure that out. But what is that relating to? It's relating to us who believe. That's the believing power. And what does believe really mean there? It means to entrust oneself to an entity in complete confidence, to believe in, to trust with the implication of total commitment to the one who is trusted, being convinced that their revelation or disclosures are true. Now, you got all that? That probably short circuits the rest of your brain. But what he's praying here is that we would know, that we would understand, we would experience what is the exceeding greatness of that power toward us who believe. And then if that isn't enough, he further identifies it by saying what? According to the working of his mighty power. So now we get another word in there. We get dunamis, which is the equipped with all power. That is the working power that he what? Worked when he raised Christ from the dead. So now we have, that's the resurrection power that we talk about. You know, Paul said in Philippians, that great statement near the end of his ministry, that I may what? Know him and the power of his resurrection. Yes. That was Paul for himself. And here, this is the prayers for us, the believers, that we would know the exceeding greatness of his power according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him. So now we have the ascension power too. We have the not only the power of raising him from the dead, he's not just walking around here on earth as a raised from the dead, but he's what? Seated at the right hand of God. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God, where? In the heavenly places. And not just in the heavenly places, but far above what? Part of the principalities and power, because Satan's so powerful? No. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also which that is to come. There's nothing higher. We're talking about the power of God here, nothing higher. We're wringing our hands about Satan and the evil and the workers of iniquity and all the problems in our lives and sickness and cancer and you name it, unemployment and economy and whatever. All of that is so, I'm not minimizing the pain that it's causing, but that's all temporary. When is the evil of this world going to be over? Very soon. We've had evil for thousands of years, but it's about over. When Christ returns, that's the effectively the end of evil. Now, we've got to go through some really bad stuff before that happens. It's not that tomorrow is going to be wonderful ever after, but it does mean that Christ is coming soon. It does mean, first, Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years, and then he'll be thrown into outer darkness forever. So the evil alternative of choice is about over. The choice for Christ is about over. Because once we get through the tribulation, that's the end. There'll be those with the Lord and there'll be those without the Lord. That's the end of it. I mean, that's eternity. It's forever. I don't mean it's the end of end, but I mean that's the end of the church age. It's the end of the, actually, we get to the end of the church age, maybe even a little earlier than that when the church is raptured out here. But there's still going to be people saved through the tribulation, right? Israel, a third of Israel will survive. Two-thirds will be killed. And the third that are saved at the end of the tribulation will then all come to the Lord, and that'll complete the church, in my opinion. So we will see his great work almost done. So we're in a very unique time here, a very unique time where there's not much time left, and there is such a wonderful opportunity if we start to think about all of these awesome things that God has for us who believe, to really encourage us to pray for the lost and get our minds off of ourselves. Get our minds off of our woe is me. Get our minds off of the pity that I'm in, you know? That's all flesh. That's all ugly. That's not of the Lord. It's of the other side. And if you can get your mind on yourself, then you're not good for anything else, right? Because you're just worried about yourself. And so we want to come alongside those who are hurting. Not everybody who's a Christian is mature enough to understand that. Particularly some of the new believers, they think that they believe in Christ, everything's going to be fine, and all of a sudden they find their life having more problems than they ever had as an unbeliever. And when it wasn't told to them that believe in Christ and your problems are going to start, I mean, how many evangelists have you heard that say, hey, let's believe in Lord so you can have more problems in your life? Oh, what? And that's not true. Totally, but it's partially true, isn't it? Because as long as you're fishing, swimming along with all the other dead fish, there's no real current, no real problems in your life, right? But try to go upstream, and then boom, it's tough, isn't it? So this is the prayer for today, that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Father, we thank you for this awesome prayer, Lord. We just thank you that it so shows us, or so shows me, how small I am in my prayers, and thinking that some of these things I'm praying for is such a big deal when they're nothing at all, really, compared to the power that you have working in us. The same power as the resurrection. The same power as the ascension. And so, Lord, we are victors. We are serving a risen King of kings and Lord of lords, Lord, who created the heavens and the earth and all that therein is. And you've chosen us, Lord. And you've allowed us to have that eternal relationship with you. And so, Lord, we can't even get our hands around the enormity of that. But we do know enough to know that those who do not yet believe are not going to receive any of that. And so, Lord, it's serious, serious times. And so, Lord, may we not focus on the evil. That's going to pass away. But may we focus on you. Focus on the good. You're good and do good. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to pray this morning as we are coming upon the election in just a couple of more days. And this campaigning and all that stuff is about over. And, Lord, above all else, we know that your plan is perfect. Your plan does not depend on an election, and you're not going to be surprised by what happens on Tuesday. You're not going to wring your hands and say, oh, how could that country go that way? You already know. And, Lord, we deserve nothing but your wrath. And so you may choose to put our same president back in again for 4 more years to just bring the judgment upon us that is coming. But yet, Lord, we would pray not. We would pray for your mercy, and we would pray for a few more years, if it is your will, to have some good things coming out of this nation for your glory. And yet we've turned so far from you. So, Lord, lead us and guide us in this time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.